Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Hello, and welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is one of our best of episodes for 2015's podcast season, and I am delighted to announce that I have chosen for this one an episode that I think was both a lot of fun to record, really interesting for all of you to listen to, and had guests that were just amazing. I am, of course, referring to the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter episode. That's episode 131. So you can get to the show notes for this recasted version by going to wargamingrecon.com/WR131recast, all one word. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR131recast. That's recast. And that'll have what's in this episode. If this is your first time listening to a recasted episode or a best of episode for Wargaming Recon, just let me briefly explain it. I know that maybe there are some newer listeners to the show who are like, recast? What the heck is that? Is this just like a clip show? And some, maybe some longtime listeners thinking, well, it's been a while. Could you refresh my memory on it? So what I like to do is for the end of the year, I take some time off from recording new episodes with new content for you. And rather than just leaving you with nothing to listen to between like middle of December to middle of January, I do what I call recast episodes. And these are episodes that are best of sort of things. If you were listening to the radio, I pick an episode and it's something that was released during this recording year and one that I think was really good for certain reasons. And then I send it out to you again. I do a little more work with the editing and that kind of stuff to make it sound even a little bit better. And then at the start of the episode, I do kind of cool or extra footage or behind the scenes information, something extra to it. So you're actually kind of getting like an episode and a half when you get a recast episode because you're getting the full original episode and then you're getting about a half episode's worth of new content. And I do this so that, like I said, you can get new stuff to listen to while I'm taking a little breather, recharging my batteries, getting ideas, and of course celebrating my birthday, which is December 22nd, and then the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate here in the US on Christmas, December the 25th, and then the New Year's and all that kind of stuff. And I know not everyone's religious, and I understand that, and not everyone celebrates Christmas. These are just the reasons why I take this time off, because I am religious, I'm Catholic, and I like to celebrate my birthday, and I love winter in this entire season of the year. So I try to take this time for me and for my family to kind of both get away from it, but I'm still working on things. It's just, it's easier because I'm not creating the new content. I use it to kind of schedule guests for the new year, come up with ideas for the next season and work on cool new changes and things. So Ancient History Magazine talked a lot about it in episode 131. And even since then, I've covered it on the show a little bit here and there. And if you're unfamiliar with it, you're going to hear more about it when we get the full original episode, which will come right after this introduction. But I want to just say a few things about it. So I've talked about in the past some Kickstarters and things to look for if you want to back a Kickstarter and some danger signs. And there's been a lot in the news in general, both on the internet and here in the US in regular traditional media, about dangers of Kickstarters and about all these different Kickstarter projects that get done and then people give them all this money to the creators and nothing happens. Or you hear stories about creators who are basically scam artists and how are they able to get through Kickstarters beyond me. Kickstarter needs more stringent controls or something. I don't know. Maybe a topic for another episode. But basically they're stealing people's money. So it's so refreshing when I can tell you that there's a project that I of course know is going to be good and it meets my criteria for me to put my money where my mouth is before I even tell you about it. But then for it to come to successful completion. Ancient History Magazine is one of those. If you're watching this live, and some of you might be, You're going to see some extra cool stuff. Or even if you're not, it'll be in the YouTube video. I'll have a link in the show notes for that. I know this is an audio podcast, so you're listening to it probably while you're at work, or maybe you're commuting to or from somewhere, or you're at the gym or painting. But we do this live, and so you can see the live video on our YouTube channel. That's worldgamingrecon.com/YouTube. But I'll have a link to this specific video in the show notes so you can see, because we got Ancient History Magazine. And this is really cool because I was one of the first backers of it. And as such, I got a signed copy. So it's signed by everyone involved. It's signed by the co-editors. So we have great, just beautiful little signatures here from, well, everyone really. Yasho, Yona, both of them are the co-editors. And then Jasper as managing editor publications for Karen Sawai Publishers is here too. So that's really cool. And it's everything I would have expected. And that, I mean, I just realized, I was like, wait, maybe that's ambivalent. This is good. This is really good. I know there's a lot of us who are into all of this because we like the war part of the gaming. We like to get involved with all of it and recreate the different battles and everything on the tabletop. And Ancient History Magazine does not cover warfare. Karen Sawai Publishers has Ancient Warfare, which covers ancient warfare. But this is invaluable because it covers everything else. It tells us about the people and the societies who were engaged in that warfare that we're playing on the tabletop. So you can get just fantastic articles in here. The production value is the same as all of the other publications that they put out, Medieval Warfare, Ancient Warfare, WSNS. So you know that's quality. The printing's amazing. Layout, of course, is good. And I'm just showing a title page here with the table of contents for people so you can see all the cool kind of stuff that's going on here. And I'm gonna just get you a nice view of this so that way you're able to see what's going on here. And this is, I mean, it is honestly just a great, great production here. And you know, you can't go wrong with it because, as I said, the content and everything is as I would have hoped. And you get a nice view here of the table of contents. And then at the bottom, they have in a special section about our Kickstarter backers. And if you had backed, sorry for the extreme zoom, if you had backed at a certain level, you would have then received your name imprint in here. So I'm just going to mention and briefly read what they say here. So they say, Kickstarter backers, museums, and more. A thank you to our patrons. The issue you hold in your hands is a result of a very successful Kickstarter campaign. In total, we raised over 20,000 euros. That's roughly $20,000, give or take, or like 1.5 euro, I think, to the dollar nowadays, to fund the production of this extra long first issue. We greatly appreciate the help of all our backers, but those who made a particularly generous contribution are listed below. So they list, there's, what is that, a dozen people who gave £200 or more, and 24 plus people who gave £100 to £199. And then they thank a few museums, the Allard Pearson Museum and the Rijksmuseum and the Griffith Institute. This magazine got extra pages for the first issue because of the Kickstarter. It comes in at 82 pages and of course it has ads and stuff, but everything is just, it's fantastic. They talk about bottles and alabaster jars and you get great artwork in here. So as you can tell, this is, it's amazing. And part of it was fun because being able to be part of this project, and hopefully you backed it, but if you didn't, you can get subscriptions to it. You get it from their website. We have an affiliate link to it. I'll put in the show notes. And if you use our affiliate link, they're actually very generous with their affiliate program. It doesn't cost you anything extra. You get your stuff at the same great prices that you would normally. And then they just send us a little bit of money thanking us for sending some traffic their way. But then I backed it at a special level where I got a book with it. And I chose the Edge of the Empire book by Yona Lendering and Arjen Bosman. Talks about Rome's frontier on the Lower Rhine. And this got a lot of great reviews. I know people who already have it, have read it. It was shipped separately and I wasn't actually expecting that. I should have known better. But for some reason I was thinking this was going to come with the magazine. So when the magazine came, I was like, okay, cool. The magazine's here. It's really light. What's this about? And why isn't the book in it? And then of course, thankfully, Jasper had put an update on Kickstarter saying, oh, by the way, our other stuff's coming separately and everything. But this is just a very well researched book. It has fantastic maps in it. It has illustrations and other content. As you know, I've been talking a lot over this year, and the past couple of years actually, about Hail Caesar. I don't actually have anything on the table. We'll get to that at another time. But I have an interest in the Imperial Romans, in the Roman world as the ancient Romans knew it. So this is something that really struck out at me that, oh, maybe this would be good. But whatever level you backed at, you got good things. And if nothing else, you get in the magazine. And if you didn't back the Kickstarter, well, one, I'm sorry you missed out. But two, it's not too late. Like I said, you can get a subscription. You can buy issues. And I'll have a link in the show notes so that you can get that. The communication, everything was top-notch. And that's to be expected. Current Sideway Publishers is an amazing and very well thought out company that puts a lot of effort and time into their productions and publications. When I say their name, I think of quality, and I hope you do too. This is just, it was really good, and I wanted to share this with you as part of the, for this episode. And like I said near the beginning of the episode, it's not often in this day and age, and it's sad to say this, but it's not often that you hear in the news about Kickstarter projects being successful and delivering the goods that they promised. This is one that did it. Before I had mentioned it on the show, I walked through those steps that I highlighted in a previous episode where I made sure that it would be something that would make sense for me to share with you, but also something that would make sense for me to even invest in myself. And so I wanted to make sure that it would work because I knew that Karen Sideway Publishers would deliver, and I knew that this would be a good product. But even if I wasn't familiar with them, I was able to go through the Kickstarter project and refer back to my tips and then use that information to help me decide, does this make sense? Should I do it? Should I not back it? And I like to think that, I'm not recommending anything on the show that, one, I don't believe in, and two, that wouldn't be good for you. If I talk about it, I stand behind it. It's not my product. I'm not getting money or anything out of the stuff I talk about. Just like you, I get them, the way that you would. And if I don't, if it's like a review copy or gifted copy, I talk about it. I didn't get any of that with this. I didn't get special whatever with the stuff, no special treatment or anything. It was all the usual, but it met all my tips. And just to go over it, I mean, I covered this back in 2014. It was episode 118. I'll try to have a link in the show notes, but I give 5 guidelines for backing a Kickstarter project. Again, not a lawyer, but I say, one, you should have a clear idea of your expectation. You need to determine if the project matches what the project creator is doing. You have to, number two, communicate with the project creator before you back it. That's the best way to ask questions, because you don't want to pledge money and back it and then ask questions and be like, oh wait, this isn't what I was thinking. Number three, you only should pledge the amount of money when you know the project creator, their work, or a respectable person you trust vouches for the creator and the project. Obviously, you can't personally know everyone in Kickstarter, but people get a reputation, right? So you can learn from their other reputation. Have they done other Kickstarters? Have they been successful? Have they delivered? Have they delivered on time? Have they given great value for what the backers have given? Have friends of yours backed projects by these people? Do people you trust in the industry talk about it? I hope that you trust and value what I say. And if you do, and I'm saying, this is great, you should do it, and then I hope you take that into consideration, or whomever you do, whatever talking head, so to speak, are saying things about the Kickstarter projects, that if you feel that they're valuable and respectable, you take the information into hand. Number four, that you closely examine the Kickstarter project. Does the project seem too good to be true? Is it unreasonable? Is it impossible? And then number five, just like for those who gamble, or any disposable income really, don't pledge more money than you can afford to lose if things go sour. Just like you shouldn't buy models or toys that you don't have the money for. If you're like, I'm going to buy these cool new models somewhere, but that means I can't afford to pay my utility bills, I can't afford to pay my mortgage, I can't afford to eat, then you shouldn't be buying the stuff. If you can't afford to pledge the money on the Kickstarter project in case it goes sour, then don't do it. Because Kickstarter, even in the best of situations, things come up, things happen. What if it got delayed and you were backing for a project because you were hoping to get it for a gift for Christmas or for Hanukkah or something, and they say they're going to deliver in time, but you don't know, and you're counting on it? Don't do it if that's your only option, and if things seem shaky. So clearly, by going through all 5 of these steps, the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter project met every single one of them. and then some. And of course, I'm in a slightly different situation because I heard about it from Jasper and the folks at Karmazari Publishers, and I respect them and know the kind of work that they do because I have subscribed to WSNS. I've gotten issues of Ancient Warfare and Medieval Warfare magazine, picked them up on the newsstand. I've talked with them before. I've seen stuff that they've done, and I've come to know them and have this great professional relationship with them because of Wargaming Recon and everything. But all that helped me to create my worldview and to say, you know, this is the project, one that I need to talk about and share with all of you who listen to the show. But also, I want to back it. I'm excited for this. You may not know, but when I got my undergrad degree, I have a BA in politics and history. I got a BA in politics and history. And so I got my degree in, I mean, politics, of course, but in history, in not ancient history or whatever. My focus was more colonial Northeastern American history, but history. And so this kind of stuff excites me. And knowing that they're talking about other things that are not just warfare related, not just military related, my minor, where I went to school didn't offer dual minors. But if they did, I would have had a minor in philosophy and in religion, instead of just the minor in philosophy. This magazine covers that. There will be articles that will talk about ancient religions, ancient philosophies, and how it impacted the societies and the peoples. That plays into motivations for the military conquests, for who they are and how it shaped them. And that, I feel, translates onto the tabletop. And that's why, although Ancient History magazine seems like maybe not a perfect fit for wargamers, I think you need to take what you have on the table and then expand on it. A lot of historical wargamers do research. They learn about everything, not just the campaigns, but the motivations and everything. And this is great research material. So I hope that you will enjoy listening to the recasted part of the show where I have that interview with Jasper and with Yasho, and they talk about the Kickstarter project and what's going to happen with the magazine. And it was a lot of fun recording with them. I really do hope you will enjoy that. And I think you're going to find it informative. If you've heard it before, I think it's worth a listen again. I really do. And if you haven't heard it, you're in for a special treat. So it is one of my best of episodes for this 2015 podcast season. I'm getting a little tongue twisted here in excitement. But before you listen to that, I do just want to mention that if you are already a Patreon backer, first of all, I want to thank you. So I do want to thank my wonderful backers. I have Dave and the crew of War Games at Battleshades, the Facebook group, huge supporters of the show. And I am supremely appreciative of all that you do, Dave, and the entire Battleshades group does. I also want to thank Jamie, who is at Drake Poldragon on Twitter. Jamie is another amazing backer and listener, and Jamie just had his birthday, actually the day before I am recording this, so I want to wish a very happy birthday to you, Jamie. I am also a December baby, so I know what it's like to have a birthday so close to Christmas, and I just want to say I hope you have all the wonderful things in your life that you so deserve. It's really cool because when you back me on Patreon, one of the levels you can choose is a level where I thank you by name on the show. So I think it's a cool kind of thing that can be done. And, you know, not everyone has to do that level. It's not the cheapest level, but it's pretty cheap or pretty affordable, I should say. It's a more entry level than some of the higher ones. And these two gentlemen have been backers of at least that level for quite a while. And I want to welcome a brand new backer. Patrick, I want to thank you for your kind, generous support here for me through Patreon, but you've been a huge support all along. You helped to encourage me and feedback, and I love getting to hang out with you and see you when at conventions and everything, so it's a blast, and I'm appreciative. It's that time of year, and even if it wasn't, I'd be appreciative anyway, so thank you, Patrick, for your very kind support. Now, if you're not a Patreon backer, or if you're not a backer at that level, I want to announce some information for everyone. There's some changes coming to our Patreon campaign. So beginning January 1, 2016, I'm changing things over, and I've talked a little bit about it in previous episodes, and there's going to be an actual whole video devoted to it, a video, right? And it's going to be up on the Patreon campaign page for Wargaming Recon. That's wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. We'll have it on our YouTube channel, And we'll also have it on our Facebook page, and I might put it up on the blog itself, wargamingrecon.com. But that video will go into exact detail on how things are going to work. For this podcast episode, I just want to say, one, there's going to be a change. Currently, backers are billed on a per episode basis. So every episode I release, the backers get charged for whatever they've chosen to contribute. So if they've chosen to contribute $3 an episode, every episode they pay $3. Moving forward, as of January 1, 2016, it'll be a monthly system. Now, this should do a few things. First of all, I really want to make things as transparent as possible. So with the per episode basis, it's cool because, you know, you're only paying for what I put out. If I put out 20 episodes in a month, you're paying for all 20. And if I put out one episode, you're only paying for the one. But with the monthly setup, you know that if you're backing at whatever that level is, let's say you're backing at $5 per month, you know that every month you're going to pay $5. So you can just put that into your budget. It's easy to do. You don't have to worry about it. Also, you know that I want to give more than I get. That's one of the things I try to do. I figured out what the average number of episodes is that I release per month and what that comes out to per year. And then I took that into account when adjusting the dollar amounts that go with each backer level. So some backer levels are going to go up a little bit because I'm trying to equate it so that you're paying roughly the same as what you would be if it was on a per episode basis. And some aren't going up that much, or some might even have decreased. And the reason for this is some of the higher levels, especially where there's like a physical reward that I'm sending you, with the per episode setup, I wasn't able to, you know, tweak it really. Like, say if it cost me $20 to get a thing to you, and so I had to put it at $25. No one's paying $25 an episode. And even if you were, that's ridiculous, right? So I don't need to make it $50 an episode, or $40 a month rather, for you to get that. I can say, well, it cost me 20 and, you know, this is what it is. And then I adjust it. So that might not have any change, or you get the point. But anyway, that's taking place January 1, 2016. And there's going to be a brand new backer level with a brand new reward attached to it. Now, I'm not announcing that in this podcast episode. However, if you watch the video, it will be revealed in there. Otherwise, if you don't want to watch the video, that's cool. The next podcast episode, which will be next recast episode, and that comes out, what is that, January 4th, 2016. That podcast episode, I will announce, or reveal, I guess, what the new backer level and new backer reward is. So I'll do that at that time. But if you don't want to wait for that January episode, just watch the video. There'll be a link in the show notes to this. And like I said, it'll be on the YouTube page. It'll be on Facebook and so forth. So you'll be able to get all of that. Well, I think that covers everything. So once again, thank you to my Patreon backers. Thank you to the incredible people at the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They helped to sponsor the show. They put on a fantastic historical gaming convention. Huzzah. I know you hear the pre-recorded sponsored message in episodes, but I'm so grateful for all of the support from them, and I'm looking forward to going to Huzzah, which will be May 13th through the 16th, 2016, and bringing my wife and the baby, and just, it's going to be so much fun. So thank you to them, and I just want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. This is the last podcast episode to come out in 2015, and then, like I said, that other best of episode will be January 4th, 2016. So until then, you'll be able to stay in touch with me on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, and all that kind of good stuff. And just thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. I hope you enjoy the rest of the recasted part of it, and that, well, you know the drill, right? No matter how busy you are in your life, no matter how much shopping you gotta do for the holidays, you always know that you need to keep on gaming. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 133. That's right, 133. Crowdfunding Adler Board Game Cafe. So before I get into the episode, I want to begin by welcoming all of you to this episode. Whether you're a new or a longtime listener, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to give this a listen, and maybe you're watching it live, which I'll talk a little bit more about at the end of the show during the announcements, but I want to thank all of you because I think this is an episode you're really going to enjoy. More and more, we see that there are games being made, there are companies doing stuff, TV shows being produced, and all sorts of really neat products out there that are being crowdfunded. And there's a variety of ways to do that. Things like Kickstarter gets the most, airplay, so to speak. Indiegogo, Patreon, which I've talked about because we have a Wargaming Recon Patreon. And of course, GoFundMe is another one, which I'm going to be talking about in relation to the Adler Board Game Cafe. Before I go any further though, I want to remind all of you, you don't need to remember anything really that I talk about in this episode, except for one thing, okay? The one thing you need to remember is the link to the show notes. Why? Okay, the show notes has links to other stuff. It covers all the things that I talk about here in the episode. And because it does all of that, if you remember that one thing, you don't need to remember anything else. You go to this place and it'll have all the things that you want. So the link for the show notes is wargamingrecon.com/WR133. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR133. So what is Adler Board Game Cafe and why is it being crowdfunded? Adler Board Game Cafe is at the helm, really, and owned by Gordon Sampson and his wife Denise. They've been in business for over 10 years, something like 14, I think, actually. And they've been running game stores. They've run a variety of them in basically the same organization, but just renamed and rebranded. First, I think it was called Empire Games, and then it became Adler Hobby, which is how a lot of us here in New England may have heard about them. But if you're a listener or a viewer, I should say, if you're digesting this episode from abroad, chances are you've never heard of them before, but they are a mainstay on the New England gaming convention circuit. They've been at Total Con. They actually ran a Flames of War Flames of War tournament several years ago. And I think they've been at Huzzah since the beginning up at Maine, Portland, Maine. So they have specialized in Flames of War, but they branched out into all sorts of different games. You know how like some game stores you go to, and they're like a Magic the Gathering store or a card game store, and others are board game stores. And then there are some that are all about GW stuff, 40K, fantasy, and all that kind of stuff. And then there are others that are just kind of mixed. Some are maybe historical stores and so forth. So what they're doing is they've shut down Adler Hobby, but they wanted to progress forward. And what they want to do is they want to get some commercial real estate, like storefront, basically. And to set up a board game cafe. Board games are hugely popular now. They've been written up all over the place. Any newspapers, you look on the web, wherever, a lot of press goes to cover board games and their resurgence of their popularity. And as such, there's been a lot of board game cafes, and they may not be called a board game cafe, but basically it's a place you go, you get some sort of beverages, maybe you get some sort of food. I would call it a cafe, but again, it doesn't have to be branded as such. And you play board games, and a lot of them have memberships. You sign up, you pay maybe a monthly due, and you get to go in and you can play any of the games they have. They have a huge board game library that you get to play. You bring your friends. It's a good place to go for dates. It just is really popular. And here in Massachusetts, in particular in Boston, they're very popular, and they've been written up in the Boston Globe, which is our big paper, right? Get a lot of airplay on that. And the surrounding cities and suburbs, they're all over the place. Now, Adler Board Game Cafe would be over the border in New Hampshire. And what they want to do is they're trying to get the gamers through New England and across the globe, really, who are interested in this to help make it a reality. So I've talked about in previous episodes how you can get really cool stuff through Kickstarter, and maybe someone's doing a Kickstarter project where you like what they're doing and you want to support it and you want to make it happen. In fact, just a few episodes ago, I had some of the fantastic guys on to talk about Ancient History Magazine and how it is being kickstarted. This is the same thing, except instead of being on Kickstarter, it's on GoFundMe. Now, let me explain to you what Adler Board Game Cafe is. And Gordon's done a fantastic job of having all this information available on his website. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, so don't worry. Basically what it is a place where you can go, you can play board games. There are membership fees attached, and if you fund him through the GoFundMe campaign, there are special deals for some of this kind of stuff. I'll get into that in a minute, but I want to let you know that this is what it will be like for just about anyone who goes. If you want to get in, it's $8 a day. You play as many games as you want. You get the use of this terrain, there's scenery, the gaming tables. It's not, of course, the focus is board games because the name Board Game Cafe, right? But if you wanted to play like a game of 40K or Flames of War, that's allowed. It's okay. You bring your stuff. It's cool. He also has something called a big pack. It's $40 and it allows you to get in up to 6 times for non-members. So you're basically saving $8. Or if you're a member of the Board Game Cafe, you save 15 because it allows you in for 9 times. It's a way that you can bring your friends and family in so that they're not paying. Maybe you bought this for yourself and you're like, oh, I can get these many people in. Cause in essence, it allows 6 people in. You could come 6 times yourself or you could come with 5 other people and it still covers it. So it's really cool. And also it doesn't expire. You buy it good forever. And then there's something called a casual membership where you pay $15 a month and then your entry fee, your cover charge basically is $5 to get in. Plus you get extra stuff with it. There's discounts for things. You get a free hot or cold beverage every time you visit and all that sort of stuff. And then there's what's called a full club membership. It's $30 a month, free admittance. There's no cover charge with that. You come as often as you want, stay as long as you'd like. As long as the store is open, you get free drinks and snacks and entry to tournaments and all sorts of that kind of stuff. And then there's all sorts of like other things that are there, but basically it's a club kind of in that you get to go, you get to play cool games and you get to play games with people who are going to be fun. Okay. So you're thinking, well, how does this differ from me belonging to something like this or me going to a gaming store where like I don't have to pay to get in. I just go and I play games or gaming at your house or maybe gaming at a separate club. So if you belong to a gaming club, which I have never belonged to a gaming or wargaming club, but if you do, there are usually some sort of membership dues involved. So that's basically the same. And then if your club is lucky enough to have its own clubhouse or function space, there might be extra fees in order to keep that up to date. So your costs keep on rising and rising and rising, right? And then if you belong to that club, like a separate club, chances are you might have to be responsible for things like making terrain and building up club armies and all that kind of stuff. It depends on the organization and everything, but you might either have to or you might feel like you should. Now, if you game at home, you have all of that stuff, except you don't have any costs, right? Except for costs maybe for when you invite people over or to get your own stuff set up. But then you have the problem, you have people in your house and trying to make it work with your family and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes it's easier to get away, right? Well, then your other option is going to the game store, right? It doesn't cost to get into a game store. Most game stores don't charge you a cover charge to play. Some do though. I have been at somewhere you have to pay $5 a day. You get a table for like 3 or 4 hours and then you're gone. Others, they don't charge at all. You come in and you play, but then that runs into the problem of, well, how are those game stores going to stay afloat, right? They need something to keep them going. And not every game store is allowed or has the stuff so that you can go hang out, get a beverage, maybe a snack or something. You can't do that. So that's why a place like a board game cafe, a gaming cafe, right, is so popular because they are self-contained. They have everything. You don't need to bring anything. You go to a game store, you need to bring your game or you need to buy it from them in order to play. You can't just test out a game. You belong to a club. You have to buy all your stuff and bring it to the club. You're at your house. Same thing, right? But what if you just want to try something and you want to give it a go and you haven't done it before, but you're hoping it's going to work out. And so what if then? Well, that's where something like Adler Board Game Cafe can be really helpful. Now, as of right now, I know a lot of things are still being worked out with this enterprise because they're working on the paperwork to nail down the location, but it looks like it'll be in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're working on the details, like when will they open? What exact beverages will they have and all that kind of stuff. But one of the cool things is in this day and age of social media, they've been able to update people all the time about what they're working on through their Facebook, through the Twitter, all that sort of stuff. So for example, I happen to know that for hot beverages, they're working on getting not the Keurig system, but something like it. It's called Flavia. We have it at my work. Instead of little K-cups, you get these packets, these pouches really. And it's really good, high quality beverages. You can get all sorts of teas and hot chocolates, coffees, cappuccinos, you name it. It does it all, right? So you could get something like that to air if they so choose to go with this. But I know they're going to go with some sort of system to make it easy like that. And they'll work out with snacks and everything. Now, how much is all this going to cost you? So unlike Kickstarter, where there are set backing levels and set, you know, you need to pledge this amount to get this much or whatever. One of the cool but also confusing things about GoFundMe is that GoFundMe is basically a gigantic tip jar, kind of like Patreon, but more open-ended. So that with GoFundMe, the person who created the GoFundMe project says, we need X amount of money. And in the case of Adler Board Game Cafe, it's $4,000. Originally, it was $5,000, but then someone had donated their time and their skills as a carpenter, which allowed them to reduce the cost. Because let's face it, you open up a new business, you open up a new store, there's a lot of money involved with all that kind of stuff. And so far, they've raised $175, and so they still have a long way to go. But there's no definitive endpoint. Like, you do a Kickstarter, and they say you get 30 days to do whatever, or however long the project is. Now, the plan is they want to get this done as quickly as possible, but they need help from all of us if we so choose to do so. And as I had said, unlike Kickstarter, there's not certain backing levels where, oh, I'll give you $15 and then you give me a reward or whatever. And that's actually one of the things that haven't liked as much about Kickstarter, because a lot of people, and myself included, have mistakenly viewed Kickstarter as a store where, okay, I'm going to give you X dollars to get something. I may or may not really care about the project you're doing, nor what you want to do, but I want your reward. So I'm going to buy your reward by giving you $10, $20, $40, whatever, which should be less than what it will cost me if I didn't buy it through your Kickstarter, if I waited for your Kickstarter to end and then buy it. So if it's costing me $40, you should charge someone who didn't back your Kickstarter, you should charge them $50 or $75 or $100 or something. I should be getting a deal. And when I first heard about Kickstarter, I thought, oh, this is great. It'd be a fantastic way for a bunch of people to help someone create something cool, whether it's artwork, a movie, a game, or whatever. And then I was like, wait, it's kind of like a glorified store where we're helping, yeah, but if the creator didn't budget properly to say, well, I need to do these rewards because otherwise people aren't going to back me no matter how cool my project is. So I need to take X amount of money for my project, but then I need all this additional money to not only buy, make, or create all the rewards and then send them out to the backers. That's just something I haven't liked, but GoFundMe is different because there are no rewards. Your reward is you're donating to the cause. You're making it a reality. Some people use this because maybe they're going to move to another part of the country, another part of the world, and they want their friends to help. Some people use it because they have a great illness. Maybe they have cancer or something, and they can't afford the treatment because medical costs are just so high. And so they create a GoFundMe, and all their family and friends and coworkers, they chip in and they help out. GoFundMe is great because when you fund the project, you're doing it selflessly. You are not doing it because you are going to receive a cool toy. You're doing it because it's something you truly believe in. You're doing it because it's a good thing to do. Now, I know that there's been some talk about working out maybe some sort of unofficial, perhaps, rewards, I guess you could say, to those who do back the Adler Board Game Cafe GoFundMe. At one point, I think there was some rewards listed on the GoFundMe project page, and they've since been removed and it's been modified and so forth. So I can't speak to whether or not they will exist definitively down the road or what will happen, but I can tell you that you will be able to get updates on the project, you know, just outside of this episode by following their Twitter and their Facebook page, because it'll be from April 6, 2015 to May 14, 2015. So although I said GoFundMe kind of doesn't really have an end date, so to speak, I love that Gordon has created this timeline. He said, this is when the stuff is going to happen, and this is how it's going to be. And so I think it's really cool. And I think if you happen to live in the area and it's something you will be able to go to and use, that I think it's worth tossing a few bucks at it. There's no entry level for it. It's not like you need to give at least $10 in order to back the project. You can give a dollar. You can give whatever you can afford. And like I said, he's raised $175 so far, needs $4,000 total. Long way to go. Don't get me wrong. It's hard. Any of these crowdsource funding things are difficult to get people to back it and everything, no matter how much support you have. And at the time that I'm recording this episode, I can tell you that it's been tweeted and shared all over the place, and tons and tons and tons of people have seen it. I'm guessing thousands of people have seen this. And that just goes to show how difficult this is. But I think that if everything lines up just right, and if they get the funding to do what they need to do, and that if all the ducks get lined up in a row, you know, just how it should be, that the Adler Board Game Cafe could be quite a success. You need the right location, you need the right everything, right? Anything in life. It's a combination of cool and just correct things. But they could make it happen. And I think if they do, I think it'll be really cool and be able to go to a place that will just have that vibe that you're looking for to allow you to game in a cool area, so that you can try out all sorts of new board games, things you maybe never would have played otherwise. And if there wasn't a place like this near you, well, how are you going to try the game? Maybe a buddy might buy it and you try it out that way. That's how I have often tried board games and other stuff. Word of mouth or seeing a video online, say, well, maybe I'll try it myself and buy it. Sometimes it's a dud, sometimes it's not, you never know. But a place like this, a venue like this is really cool because you can get in and you try the games or as many games as you want and see what you like, see what you don't. But then you build up that sense of community. And community is something I talk about a lot because I firmly believe that community is very, very important. Whether it's a community people listening to Wargaming Recon or community people wargaming in Australia or community people gaming anywhere, right? Community is very important. And so being able to have that focus for a community is awesome. And for some people, it's gaming at their homes with their friends and bringing their friends there. For some people, it's gaming at a club somewhere, a wargaming club. Some people, it's gaming at the gaming store. And I mean, each has their own pros and cons, right? But for others, something like this, a board game cafe, that's where the community is. And I can tell you, the ones that are in and near Boston have been doing exceptionally well. They just have that mix of clientele, the customers coming in, the club members, the proper games, always getting the new stuff, the vibe, just everything. And it works. And now is the time for something like this. You know, 20 years ago, maybe not. 40 years from now, maybe not. But now, this is when they're really popular. So it's cool to tie into that. And I mean, like I said, I think it's worth tossing some money at. You don't have to toss a lot of money at it, just a little bit. And like I said, they've raised $175 so far, but they need to raise $4,000 to make it happen. So with your help, they can do it. And we'll just see how it goes. But I will tell you that no matter what happens, that I will update you so that if this is a reality, you'll be able to find out that it actually happened. And if it isn't, and I hope it will be, but if it isn't, you'll also find that out as well. Maybe not in an episode of the show, but definitely on our social media, perhaps on Facebook most likely, or on Twitter. But Facebook is the way that I tend to release information the most. So that's definitely something that you will want to stay up to date on. So let's move on to the mailbag section of the show. So for you listeners who happen to be new to Wargaming Recon, mailbag is when I take comments and questions and that kind of stuff that I received from all of you. Maybe you've emailed it to me. You might have put it on YouTube and as a comment to one of the live broadcasts, or perhaps you put it on Facebook or on Twitter. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways you can get in touch with me here at Wargaming Recon. So the first comment I have, first piece of listener feedback, I guess you could say, is from listener Ancient Thoughts, who commented on YouTube. They actually responded to the live recording of episode 132. And that was the one where I had talked about Ancient History Magazine and the Kickstarter for it. So listener Ancient Thoughts said, quote, Joshua's completely right with what he's saying with how Ancient History Magazine going to be different. The artwork is a huge factor as well as the info and how it's delivered, because it gives a historically accurate picture and brings the ancient world to life. This new magazine would be extremely popular. Same with their podcast, if more people just knew about it. Well, I can tell all of you, and in particular you Ancient Thoughts, that as of the time that I'm recording this episode, which is International Tabletop Day, that's April 11th, 2015, the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter, it has been successfully funded. If you haven't backed it yet, please do, because they've released the first stretch goal and met it, and they have released a second stretch goal, and with your help can make that happen as well. So I agree. I think Ancient History Magazine is going to be very, very popular. I think it's something that once it gets going, we're going to see it's a mainstay of Karin Soderwedh Publishers' magazine empire, and that it's going to reach across the aisle. It's going to appeal to wargamers like you and I, but it'll also appeal to people who are interested in history, into archaeology, people from a wide array of backgrounds who've never even heard of, have never been interested in wargaming. And I think that's really smart on their end. And I think it's going to do very, very well. I should note that the podcasts that Ancient Thoughts are referencing are really good. I've listened to the Ancient Warfare Magazine podcast for a long time, long before I even began reading the magazine, and I enjoyed it. Their podcasts kind of give a behind-the-scenes peek to what went into each of the issues that they publish, so that's really cool. And I actually wish that they would do it with their other titles, with Medieval Warfare, with Wargame Soldiers and Strategy, and so forth. I think it would be very neat. I have another piece of feedback, this time from listener I Did Saw a Bear, who commented again on YouTube in reference to episode 132. They said, if you give me a way to buy this in Canada, I will buy the crap out of each edition. So I can tell, first of all, thank you, I Did Saw a Bear, for your comment. You can buy it in Canada, or at least you can back it no matter where you are. If you're in Canada, back the Kickstarter, you'll get the first issue as part of your backing. And once it goes out, I'm sure they will release it to Canada. If not, nothing else, you'll be able to buy it through the Karin Soderwedh Publishers website, and they'll ship it to you in Canada. And if you don't want to do that, I'm guessing that your local bookstore should be able to have it. They've managed to get into a lot of the distribution streams for bookstores all over the place. So they've done it for their other magazines. I have no reason to doubt that that won't be true for this one. And like I said, no matter what, you can buy it through their website. So you will be able to buy this, and I hope you do, quote, buy crap out of each edition, unquote, because I think it's going to be really good. The sample edition I've seen is just, it's like Ancient Warfare Magazine, but more focused on the history behind all of it. And that's why people have been backing it, because they love it, right? So I think it's definitely going to be available all over the place for people. And then one last comment for this episode, one last bit of listener feedback from listener David, who commented actually on Facebook, and again in reference to episode 132, the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter. He says, quote, all around an enjoyable and informative discussion. Of particular interest is this proposed new book of artwork from Ancient Warfare Magazine. Given the quality of the illustrations that have graced the pages of AW from the very start, he's saying that he thinks it's going to be fantastic. And you know what? I agree. So thank you, David, for your comments. And I think for those of us who back the Kickstarter, that backing it at that level where you can pick that book is going to be really cool. I have backed it at the level so that I can get either that book or one of the others that were mentioned. And I can't remember whether it was Jasper or Yasho who had mentioned all the different books. It might have been Jasper, but I'm looking forward to saying, I want this one or I want that one or whatever. Because it's a great deal to do it. Not only are you getting the issue of the magazine, you're going to get the A4 size illustration, I think it is, plus you can get a book and everything, so it's really cool. Now we have just a few announcements for everyone. I want to remind all of you that I am still very excited to welcome the newest member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. I'm talking about the Hobby Desk podcast and its host, Joshua Shoebridge. And I also want to give Joshua a shout out today, because today he is baptizing one of his kids. One of his sons is being baptized today. So I want to wish all the best to Joshua for that. And also want to say that tomorrow, and not tomorrow when you're listening, because who knows when you're listening. Yeah, you could be listening a year from now. But tomorrow, April 12th, is when my wife and I are having our daughter, Catherine, baptized. So it's a fun-filled and hectic weekend here at Wargaming Recon Central. Don't forget, you can join me at Huzzah. I mentioned this earlier in the episode, but you can join me at Huzzah, which is a fantastic historical gaming convention up in Portland, Maine. That's May 15th to the 17th, 2015. I will be there. I'm doing the very first in-person live recording of Wargaming Recon. That's right, live before a studio audience. So I will be there and doing that. I think it's Sunday morning that I'm doing my recording. I have to double check. But no matter what, I will be there, and I'm also playing in some games, or a game I'm playing on Friday night. It's a musket and tomahawk game. Been playing that with listener Adrian, and my wife and daughter are going to be joining me for the fun, and we'll be spending all of Saturday doing cool touristy kind of things in Portland, because it's a fantastic city. Great place to eat and a lot of sightseeing. And if you like lighthouses, two thumbs up for that. So just all sorts of kind of cool stuff. And I want to just briefly talk about a cool new thing that we're doing here at Wargaming Recon that you may not have been aware about, because it's been going on for a little bit, but it's gotten better just now. So I've tried to get myself in the habit of recording these episodes, at least the most recent ones anyway, live. And there's a few reasons behind that, but the main one is that it was too easy for me in the past, if I didn't have a guest on an episode, to say, oh, I don't really feel like recording right now. It's sunny outside, I want to go out. Or, oh look, I could play this game, or there's a movie, or this is going on the side, and I could just postpone when I would record the episode. So by recording live, I'm really making myself accountable to all of you to make sure that I'm giving my best and I'm doing it in a timely manner so that you get your content when you should be, when I say you're going to be getting it. So if I say it's coming out on a Monday morning, you shouldn't have to wait until Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or forever. And if it never comes out, you should be able to get it that Monday morning. And that means I need to record it in advance. I need to do all sorts of kind of stuff. A cool side effect of this is that by doing it live, I can also stream live. So these episodes have been recorded through Google Hangout Plus On Air, or whatever the heck they call it. So that way you can watch on YouTube and you can leave comments on there, which is really cool. But I've actually gone a step further, because I wanted to make it even better for all of you. So in addition to all of that, I have had my web developer, Chris, who's fantastic. He's just like cream of the top, right? And I've asked him to create what I call a live page. And it's on the Wargaming Recon website, wargamingrecon.com/live. Again, don't need to remember that in the show notes. But it's cool, because if you go there, there are some really neat things that you can do. First of all, that's how you can watch me when I record the episodes. Be able to watch me on Google, hear me, all that kind of stuff. If you don't want to watch and you just want to listen, there's a Mixler setup. Mixler is basically a way to stream audio, so that I can broadcast my audio to kind of like a radio station in a sense. And you can listen to me that way. So you can say, I don't want to watch, but I want to listen. And I got to say, watching is cool, but I don't do extra visual stuff in the episodes. I'm not like, hey, look at this, and hey, look at that. But it's a chance you get to see me. You get to see my recording studio, or at least portions of it. I mean, you can see my green walls and the bookcases and that kind of stuff. There will be, you know, sometimes in the future where I'll say, hey, I got this cool new thing I want to show you, and I might hold up, and you'll lose out on that a little bit in the audio only, or if you just get the podcast episode, although in those cases, I would put the picture up on the show notes and or our social media, but you'd get to see it live, right? And the really cool thing with all of this is that there's a chat room on the live page. I'm using something called Chatwing. It's rudimentary, but I think it does the job. And if enough people use it and like it, I'll add in some extra stuff to our Patreon funding that if we reach that, it'll allow me to do cooler things with the chat room. But the benefit of the chat room is that you can chat with other people who are watching the episode live. So say you're in, I don't know, London, right? And you're watching. And then maybe someone in Norway is watching, and then someone in Australia, and then the people in New Hampshire are watching, and you can chat with all of them about what I'm doing. Plus, you can also chat with me. My focus, of course, is on creating the audio, creating the content for you to watch and to listen to. But as appropriate, I can take a moment or two. I will pop into the chat room and say something, be like, hey, that's really cool, or thanks for commenting, or you know, whatever. So you can interact with me, and maybe I might ask a question while I'm recording, or I'll start recording and say, you know, I can't think of the name of this, or what episode did I do that in? Maybe one of you in the chat room will know, oh, you did this in episode 94. You put that in, be like, well, according to the chat room, and thanks again, I talked about that in this episode, and so forth. So it's nice to be able to have another way to kind of foster a sense of community for all of us. Again, community is important, and it's key, really, And I think it's just cool to be able to interact with people that way. There are some podcasts that I listen to that record live and have chat rooms. And I love being able to interact with the other listeners and with the podcast hosts. And I find it valuable, and I hope that you will too. And the last reason why you'll want to check out the live page is that, in addition to the setup that I have, the episode guide where you can go and see what's coming up in each episode, I will have every scheduled live recording, showing up in a Google Calendar. It appears on the page. It shows what the next event is, when it'll start, roughly when it should end, what the dates are and all that kind of stuff. But then there's also links so that you can click on and it'll take you right to the Google Calendar. So you'll be able to see a calendar of all of my scheduled live appearances, and that'll have information about them, like a brief description, if there's going to be guests and all that kind of stuff. My plan really is basically as much as possible from now until forever to record live, so that you'll be able to get it live, and then they'll come out separately afterwards as a podcast episode. Do you need to watch live or listen live? No, you don't. Like I said, by and large, there won't be extra content in there, so you're not missing out on a whole lot, although you will be missing out on that sense of community, I think. You can get some of that by commenting on our Facebook page and tweeting and that sort of stuff. But the chat room, I think, is really going to be cool because maybe allow you to form some connections. And I'll also be able to use that for feedback for future mailbag sections on the show and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's going to be really cool. And I want to thank Chris for all of his hard work with all of that. And I hope you use it. I hope all of you enjoy the live page. And who knows, maybe down the road I might be able to get a volunteer or someone to help out, to be like a producer sort of person who will sit in the chat room and sit on the live page and make sure things work appropriately and interact with all of you and that kind of stuff. And just, I don't know, I think it'll be kind of cool. I do want to remind all of you, of course, I mentioned just briefly about the Patreon. So if you like what I do here at Wargaming Recon, maybe you could support me on Patreon. Think of it like a tip jar. Costs as little as $1 an episode, roughly $2 a month. You can get to that by going to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. Again, don't worry, in the show notes. I mentioned the episode guide, but that has all sorts of cool new upcoming stuff in it. So I can tell you, for example, that some of the future episodes will be focusing on Huzzah. I'm working on rescheduling with John and Diane Sutherland because we didn't get them in 2014, but they will be back in 2015 to talk about the closing of their Wargame Holidays Center. I have the holiday gift guide later on in the year, and I'll just be plugging stuff in as it comes up. But I think that you'll find both the live page and the episode guide to be very important. And that's all I have for all of you. So until next time, I hope you will have enjoyed this live streaming episode and that you make use of the live page. And of course, you can watch the videos afterwards on our YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff. But since today is International Tabletop Day and I won't be able to game, got so much going on because with the christening tomorrow, I'm hoping that you guys will. So no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much time you're spending thinking about International Tabletop Day, I hope that no matter what, you know that you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Are you you're a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer, then you need to tune into the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016, at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.